You can't trust until you test. If you put before you test to see if you could trust them, that's really going to come back on you. So that's what God's doing. Notice God sees that most that went to drink were too casual. Too casual. You see, overconfidence has ruined many a minister and many a ministry because they're not wise to the schemes of the devil. They put themselves in compromising situations.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 7.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
We want to look at Gideon's choice. His choice I have of leaders here, but also just choice of those that he's going to go out to battle with. When we think about our Christian life, it's important to be involved in ministry and be committed to that ministry and be a person of faith and be a person that is really called of God. You just sense God's moving and leading. Alan Redpath has said the church today is turning out Christian leaders lacking evidence of heaven's reality. I appealing, but without depth, without substance, more interested in the masses than maturity. One of the things when I first got saved, I was 27 years old, but I thought, I've got to mature. I was like a child in my thinking, you know, I was that old, just in the world kind of thing. And one of the things that I really wanted to see in my own life is maturity. And I realized in the Bible and what God has for us is to mature us in our faith. And so that's what Redpath is talking about. And Gideon, he was God's choice to lead God's people, Israel, in victory. Remember, they were under the bondage of the Midianites. And so you have to ask, what kind of person does God choose to be part of Gideon's army, or those to come alongside and partner with Gideon in leadership, or just to go out to battle with him in service for the Lord and do his work? You see, one of the things that we see in chapter 6 and chapter 7, we find Gideon is constantly dialoguing with the Lord. He's talking, it's back and forth with the Lord, his prayers, his petitions to the Lord. You know, we discover God is more interested in quality than he is in quantity. Quantity, we think bigger is better, and we're always into bigger and better when it comes to maybe an army, as we look at what Gideon is going to happen to Gideon's army. It's going to be pared down. Or even in the church, bigger is better. Even a staff, bigger is better. Why? Ego. Ego, we want the glory. I mean, that's very dangerous when the ego gets involved in the things of God. It did with David toward the end of his kingship when he numbered the army. It was military pride. How many do I have? And then God judged that. You see, God shares his glory with no one. And so many times we find in our life, and we find even in the church life, that God strips away. He strips away resources, depletes numbers, and he causes what looks like a setback. Wow, what's happening? A reversal. Wow, things are not going really well. And it doesn't mean that he's disappointed in us, that he's disappointed in your life and in the work you're doing for the Lord. But what he is doing, what I've found in my long Christian life, since I was in my, 27 when I got saved, and in my long Christian life, I find that he's seeking to increase our faith, that he might do even greater things. Because so many times I thought, oh no, it's over. He's taken away. There's reversals, there's setbacks. And yet I realized it was for a greater work. He was building my faith for greater things. Most of you, probably all of you, don't realize that when we first started in town, we were out in the North Shore for 10 years. We came in town to start the ministry. And we were meeting in different schools and different places. And then there was a time where it was very hard to find a place to meet. We were meeting in the park at one time and in Ruger Theater at that time, Diamond Head Theater, you might know it by that. But then an opportunity came up for the Seventh-day Adventist Church there, right on Nu'uanu Avenue, or one of the cross, right on Nu'uanu Avenue. And that church was in the round. It was really a nice, nice place. It looked like Costa Mesa. And I thought they wanted to give it to us. I went to the pastor. I said, could we rent it on, you know, for Sunday? You guys are meeting on Saturday? And they said, well, yeah, I think we can. So, but one of the problems was we just got our AM station. And a couple of the guys that were on board with the AM station, one of the guys had gotten the Seventh-day Adventist radio program on K-Lite AM. And not saying it was a heretical program, but they kept emphasizing Sabbath worship, Sabbath worship. And to me, that's very confusing for people because you've got the Seventh-day doctrine on our station. And so I had to make a decision. They were going to give us the church. I mean, we didn't have to run around to find a place anymore and let us meet there, kind of a full-time thing. But I still remember back in my backyard, I was working on a surfboard. I still remember doing this. A lot of the boards I reconditioned. And I was doing this, and the Lord was just speaking in my heart. He said, Bill, are you going to compromise? You know that having that church is going to confuse people. And so I was just going back and forth. Yeah, but this is a place I've always wanted. It's perfect. It was kind of like what we have here. And I realized I can't compromise. So I finally went to him. I said, can we have a meeting with you? We might have a problem. And he said, yeah, what's the problem? And I said, well, we're going to have to take your radio program off our radio station because there's kind of a conflict there. And he said, oh. And then they came back to me. I don't know, maybe the next day or maybe right then. I can't remember. It's all a blur. He said, well, you can't use our building. And I remember one of our guys in the church got so mad at me. He said, Bill, you are so reckless. You're so impetuous. And I thought, well, from your point of view, it was. Maybe I was because you're more of a secular person. He was an attorney. But to me, my heart, I couldn't do that. I couldn't compromise in that way. And you know, the amazing thing was, not long after that, we got the Empress Theater. We got our own building downtown. I don't know if you probably weren't around that long, but we got that and the Lord did just an incredible, incredible work. So you see, sometimes things that seem like a setback, they're simply building your faith for something greater. And that's what we're seeing here. That's what we're seeing in the book of Judges. And we see with Gideon and some of the things that we're going to see him having to go through to go out to battle. It says in Judges 7, verse 1, then Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who are with him, rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. So here, notice he rose early, got up early. You know, one of the things that I believe is success and security in a person's calling, it doesn't give them the liberty to be lazy. Oh, we've got it all. Let's be lazy. You know, let's just not show up. No, not at all. You see, but we need to be early about the Lord's business. That's important. You know, I don't have the article. I could probably find it, but I just, I had it in my notes. Soybean farmers, the normal average produce is about 50 to 60 bushels per acre. But this one guy was over the top because he treated his crops like little children. It was amazing. And he got 174 bushels to the acre. That is over three times what the average was. You see, the crops don't grow where the shadow of the farmer doesn't fall. That's good for farming, but it's also good for ministry. Don't get lazy in what you're doing for the Lord. You know, show up and minister. You see, the ministry doesn't thrive where the shadow of the minister doesn't fall. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:19, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. You could use that for agriculture, or you could use that for the ministry. I think it was Chrysostom, that great man of God, he said it really tried him when he heard early in the morning when the blacksmiths were early at their trade before the Christians at theirs. He was up early reading his Bible, praying. And yet he heard the tradesmen, you know, they were early at their work. He's wondering, where are the Christians? You see, the first thing we notice when Gideon called, they came willingly. We'd have to go back to chapter 6 to see that. But verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet. And the Abiezerites were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh. And they also were called together and followed him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. So notice the call to the ministry, and they came willingly. That's important. You know, I mean, I know we have, you know, we do mention a lot, you know, their needs in different areas. But you see, it's a call of God. You don't want to coerce people to get involved. You don't want to plead with them, oh, please, we need you. You don't want to do that either. You don't want to pressure them in to any kind of ministry. But it's got to be the work of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit upon a person's life. The Bible says that they volunteered willingly in the day of the Lord. You see, when it is the day of the Lord in a person's life and in the church life, they will hear and they will respond. You know, it just happens that way. It should always be a willing heart. Always be a willing heart. Because if you talk somebody into getting involved in a certain thing, then they can be talked out of that as well, especially in hard times. Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And then the next thing you know, you have an empty ministry there because they were talked out of it because the hard times came. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 9, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. You'll never last if it's against your will. For Paul says, yeah, we do. We'll share the faith. You know, sometimes we might be reluctant missionaries, but you see, he says that it's part of the ministry. You can do it willingly or you can be compelled to do it. He goes on, verse 2 and 3, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are too many with you for me to give Midian into your hands, lest people become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now, therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. You see, from their vantage point, they could see the enemy. They could see below. And I mean, it was radical. They were like, you know, the camels and the people like sand on the seashore, the Bible goes on to say. So Gideon's saying, if you're afraid, go home. 22,000 were afraid and they went home. But you see, Gideon wasn't doing anything that was not biblical or unscriptural, because in the law, it said in Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, then the officers shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, who is the man who is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house, so that he might not make his brethren's hearts melt like his heart. In other words, you don't want those that are of a weak heart, because when they face the enemy, they're going to turn and run, and it'll, you know, create a stampede. So don't do it. So 22,000 went home. You wonder why. I mean, these were warriors in Israel. I wonder if they were beat down by the enemy because they were, you know, under the enemy's control for so long. You've heard of the Stockholm syndrome. You know, maybe that's what took place with them, where you're under your enemy for so long, then you start siding with them and you start agreeing with them. And maybe that's Israel. It had taken away their will to fight. Or maybe sin was ruling in their life so long it drained them of any courage that they had to go out against the enemy. And fear had replaced faith in their life. Remember when David was in sin and he wasn't admitting it, and it went on for a number of years. He writes in Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Maybe that sin had just drained all the courage, all the energy out of them. But they left. They went home. You see, faith begets faith, fear begets fear. And fear will always look for fleshly weapons to fight spiritual battles. That's not good. Usually people that are out of faith, that they won't look to the Spirit, like the fellow that was telling me that I was impetuous because I told that Seventh-day Adventist church, well, I have to take your program off the radio. And then they, you know, they took off. I mean, they wouldn't let us use their facility. Well, that is a carnal mind. What do you do? Do you compromise just to get what you want? Well, those are fleshly weapons fighting spiritual battles. Peter did that when Jesus was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took out his sword and flailed away. You know, that is trying to use fleshly weapons in spiritual battles. You see, fearful in battle, whether you're in a church or back in Gideon's day going out to war, fearful in battle influences others. Those that are not of faith, those that are kind of complainers, those that always look at the negative, that can influence people. You see, if you want to be a person of faith, then hang out with people of faith. So far, notice Gideon's army. So far, it's good. Number one, willing soldiers who are going out to battle. When Gideon called, they all came out. Second, now those 10,000 full of faith in the face of an intimidating enemy, knowing that God is greater. Ah, so two good things. They got 10,000. Well, first of all, it was because there's 135,000 Midianites. So first of all, it was 4-1 because they had, 32,000. Now they only have 10,000. So it's about 14-1. You know, the odds are getting less and less. Well, notice this. It's going to diminish even more. So in verse 4, we'll go down to verse 7. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, where I will test them for you there. Therefore, it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his home. Now, what the Lord is doing, you know, he's testing them. Remember, I've always said, you can't trust until you test. If you put before you test to see if you could trust them, that's really going to come back on you. So that's what God's doing. Notice God sees that most that went to drink were too casual. You see, overconfidence has ruined many a minister and many a ministry because they're not wise to the schemes of the devil. They put themselves in compromising situations, and that's what we're seeing those that are putting their faiths down in the, you know, the pool of water. They're drinking like a horse would drink. Putting yourself in compromising situations goes across the board, not just going out to battle. Well, basically, we're always in a spiritual battle. But as Billy Graham said, our greatest temptations are gold, girls, and glory. You know, the money, the women, and the glory. You see, kneeling with your mouth to the water to drink like a horse, you put yourself off guard. You're off guard. You can't see around you. You're easily caught. If the enemy's hiding out, that's not a wise position if the enemy's lurking around, catching you unawares. Surprise attack. So those that are lapping, you know, they put their hand to their mouth. You know, they grab the water and to the mouth. They're alert, you know, to any surprise attack. You see, we need those to go out to battle with us who have a willing heart, who are full of faith, who are aware that we're in a spiritual battle. It's not a playground, it's a battleground for our faith. And they're alert to the schemes of the devil.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 7. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 7. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.